Before we begin, everyone do me a favor.
Thanks.
Read a little thing I wrote called the Federalist Papers.
Yeah.
I explain how a nation is unlikely to survive without a strong central government
to keep it alive.
When I launched a central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my face to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-strapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracks.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Yeah, my pseudonym, a group of men, it doesn't even matter.
Nope.
I invented Bitcoin because fiat is a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Well, good afternoon and welcome. This is the Tokens Radio Show. My name's Christy Matthews.
I'm Linda Kitt. Sorry, you were blowing my eardrums out there. I had to go turn it down.
Today is Sunday, February the 26th, and we're broadcasting live from the KCNR studios in Reading.
In downtown Reading.
Yes. And it's good to see that the snow is cleared.
And yes. More is on its way.
Yes, indeed. Well, we have Pat in the studio today. He's
good
producing.
Afternoon.
How are you doing?
Yeah, good day to you guys. I'm happy to be here. It's always a great pleasure to be able to produce your show and listen to what you have to say.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It's
we
good to have you here.
It.
You can find our archive shows at tokensradioshow.com, and you can find us on Twitter at backup. That's at Tokens Radio Show. That's at Tokens Radio Show. I wanted to say Twitter and Telegram, but that's kind of the obvious, isn't it?
Yeah, whatever works.
If you'd like to call into the program, the phone number is 530-605-4567, and the chat room is open.
Yep, and it's been working good.
Currently, Bitcoin is at 23,623. Ethereum's at 1640. XRP is at 37 cents, and XLM is at 8 cents. So a little bit of a dip in the market.
A little bit. Not much to really worry about. Not that you worry anyway.
And if you missed the Bitcoin crash course, it's 30 minutes of Bitcoin, and you can go ahead and find that program at our website at tokensradioshow.com. It's on the February 12th recording.
Yeah, and that was really good, the 30-minute crash course on Bitcoin. Everybody picks up some information off of that one. The Bitcoin Center, they did a wonderful job on that.
Yes,
it was really cool.
They most certainly did. And it's interesting because we're not quite sure who listens until you get around town and you hear people that said, yeah, I've heard you on the radio show, and you talk about that Bitcoin thing, right? Yeah, that's very interesting. But I don't understand it. So we're doing the best that we can to help people understand it.
Yeah, I was at the Board of Supervisor meeting, and I was standing out in the hall, and a lady tapped me on the shoulder. Aren't you on the radio? And I had mistaken her for somebody else in the community, and I got a little defensive to start with. She goes, no, I'm not her. It's like, oh, I'm so sorry, you know, but it was nice at the same time that she knew by my voice who I was.
Right.
So that was kind of interesting. So.
No, and it wasn't some snob thing either, right? It was that this person you were thinking of was a very antagonistic person that you didn't want to be dealing with.
Yes. If it has to do with people that write articles and this.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Linda's very nice and very approachable.
Yes. So anyway. All right. So. Well, do our sponsor for this show is Tokens Radio Show has partnered with, of course, Swan Bitcoin. We chose Swan Bitcoin because it's easy and inexpensive. Set up a Bitcoin savings plan and never miss out on the dips. It's perfect for both new and experienced Bitcoiners. You can get a free book, Inventing Bitcoin, the technology behind the first truly scarce and decentralized money, and $10 worth of Bitcoin when you use our affiliate link, swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow. Again, that is swanbitcoin.com/tokensradioshow.
Yeah, they're wonderful, and they're coming out with more services too. So, I'm so proud of what Swan is doing and to be a part of their growing organization, unofficially, but, you know, attached in this sort of way, because we love to promote them.
Right. Not only that, but they do have some good articles on there they have some good pieces for education on that. So it's not just about buying Bitcoin and getting yourself set up that way, though that is a big part of it. It's really nice that you can go on there and get some education in regards to Bitcoin as well.
Oh, absolutely. So, well, I wanted to just take a brief moment to give a thank you. And as many of you may know at this point in time, I am running for the city council seat in the city of Shasta Lake. And on Wednesday, there was a meeting that was organized by the Shasta County Republican Assembly. And it was a forum to where the assembly members and the community members asked questions of the candidates for the special election. And the candidates is myself and another person. It was an honor to have received the endorsement of the assembly. I'm so honored to have received that and want to express my sincere thanks to them and everyone who took the time to attend and engage with me and the other candidate that evening. It was a lot of fun and scary at the same time.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you. And additionally, I want to remind everyone that the election is quickly approaching and your vote can make a significant difference. If you've not yet voted, I humbly ask for your support. And I encourage you to complete your ballot and bring it to a drop box today. Your vote is and if you can't bring it to a drop box yourself, have somebody bring it for you. If your vote is crucial in shaping the future of our city, and I'm committed to working steadily to represent the needs and interests of our community. Thank you for considering me as your candidate, and I look forward to serving you on the Shasta Lake City Council.
Awesome. And before we move on with that, now because this is a special election and that's the only ballot, you basically have to put it in the drop box or go to the elections office, right?
Right.
On the day of election.
No, they're accepting them now.
Oh, are they? You
yes.
can go in and vote too?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
Yes, I believe you can surrender the ballot and then you can go ahead and vote.
Oh,
just
cool.
Like any other election.
Awesome.
Hopefully this will change because this is kind of crazy type of voting, especially when there's only two people on the ballot. But there's a drop box in the city office. Up in Shasta Lake. There's one in the elections office, and I believe that there's one in the chambers as well.
Oh, nice. Okay. All right.
So thank you.
Oh, you betcha. We appreciate that. Well, I know that we're going to talk about the book that's come out, and we usually draw a card, but after we both receive this wonderful, beautiful book that we're going to discuss from Jason Lowry, I came up with a word called soft war.
Oh, say it's not soft.
Imagine that. It's right on the cover of the book.
It is.
But anyway, you know, because I was looking at, and you know, to be honest, I didn't know what soft war really was. So usually soft war is like a nonviolent war, if you want to put it that way. But it encompasses stuff like cyber warfare, economic sanctions, media warfare, propaganda. So, you know, it plays out in a lot of different ways. And usually it's nonviolent, but it's resistant as it plays out in civil disobedience, boycotts, and law warfare. So it's kind of like all the other stuff that we deal with all the propaganda, the media, cyber stuff. That is what soft war is. And usually it doesn't get violent. It's a very non-violent thing, but it's very important to know the rules of engagement for soft war because it affects us in everything in our life.
Well, we'll discuss over the several weeks and months as we get through this very long, it's a textbook, really.
It is a textbook.
It's a master's thesis, and it is written in textbook format, and it's about 400 pages long, full of technical expertise. But what Jason Lowry has always talked about is that we're at a point to where we can easily annihilate each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we really need to find other ways other than kinetic war if we're going to survive. Because it's so easy. Everybody's on a push-button annihilation track. It's very easy to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And his whole approach here, and I think we will find out over time exactly what was his assignment to come out and speak so publicly as he does about Bitcoin, is that there's a better way to protecting our country and protecting our systems and our way of life through what you would call energy.
Right.
Watts, joules.
And just to back up a little bit, because I didn't really mention it before and we didn't talk about who Jason Lowry is.
Oh, yes.
You know, we just kind of threw his name out there. We've talked about him many times, but he's...
You want me to read the biography?
Yeah, if you want to read the biography, that would be great. Remember, this is a branch of the military that Trump came up with SpaceX.
Or Space Force.
Space Force. SpaceX.
Sorry. The wrong space program.
Yeah, you know, one of those. Anyway,
it's one of those space programs.
Force.
Right.
So anyway, so if you would go ahead and read his biography, that would be wonderful so people could kind of get a feel for him.
Well, Major Jason Spook Lowry is a Department of Defense-sponsored U.S. National Defense Fellow, Department of the Air Force Fellow, MIT System Design and Management Fellow, Astronautical Engineer, and Active Duty Field Grade Officer in the U.S. Space Force. Prior to attending MIT, Jason served as the Director of Operations for the USSF, the United States Space Force, Second Space Launch Squadron. Before that, he was a founding member of the cadre of officers who stood up the United States Space Force, serving as the Deputy Chief of the Commander Space Force Component Command. Jason transferred into the United States Space Force from the U.S. Air Force, where he served as an all-source intelligence analyst and subject matter expert in electronic warfare, blast and ballistics effects, and space weapon system design. Jason has a decade of experience serving as a technical advisor for U.S. senior officials, to include the Office of the President of the United States, the Office of the Secretary of Defense, and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. He has a master's degree in astronautical engineering from Air Force Institute of Technology, Ohio, and a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering from Baylor University, and now an additional master's degree from MIT.
Yeah. So this guy isn't no slouch at all.
And he came on the scenes, like, out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's true.
On Twitter and LinkedIn, it's like, who is this guy? And then he's on everybody's show of anybody who's anybody, right?
Right.
Robert Breedlove was probably some of the most interesting discussions that he had relating to Bitcoin and humanity and anthropology and how all of this ties together. And these are clues that Bitcoin is far more than what we think it is.
Oh, yeah. Even I think anybody has any concept of, you know, that he's, it's very interesting how this all ties into Bitcoin. You know, you're going, well, what's that got to do? What's space got to do with it? There is so much to cover. And we will be doing it over weeks and weeks and weeks. But this book, as you put it, the textbook, is definitely a big educational piece for everybody. And we hope that we can get a lot of it out there for him.
Well, is it okay to read
yeah.
this other piece here
yeah.
that helped ties this together? He goes along to say that this fellowship is a Department of Defense-sponsored program where mid-career officers attend a graduate-level systems engineering program at MIT to research strategic military applications of emerging technologies. As the U.S. Space Force first and only U.S. National Defense Fellow, he devoted his fellowship towards researching the national strategic implications of Bitcoin. And by the end of the research effort, he concluded that Bitcoin could be one of the most significant military-grade technologies to emerge of the 21st century. Well, throughout some of the other writings, and to be honest, I personally have only gotten to chapter one. This is just all of the introductory material. This book just came out last week. He makes it clear where where a lot of the problems are arising with Bitcoin, and possibly why I think that there's a greater application here than just for adoption among normal users as a cash system. He goes on to say that that he's describing machinery that is currently being used to keep special bits of information called Bitcoin secure against belligerent actors. And so that machinery is a bunch of servers.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And there's warehouses full of servers. If you think about in Utah where they have that huge information center, it's
like 300,000
square feet or so of servers.
Crazy how many they have in there.
So the bottom line of his thesis is that Bitcoin isn't strictly a monetary protocol. Instead, Bitcoin appears to be emerging as a cyber power projection tactic for the digital age. While most software can only logically constrain computers, Bitcoin can physically constrain computers and impose severe physical costs, as measured in watts and joules, right, on belligerent actors in, from, and through cyberspace. Pretty interesting stuff.
It is very interesting. And again, we go back to when we first started, we started with cryptocurrency, and then we became pretty much in the Bitcoin world.
Just exclusively
Bitcoin. That you wouldn't think, what's Bitcoin got to do with security? What's it got to do with military? What's it got to do with all these different things? And that's what we hope to be going over with everybody. It does all tie in. It does make a big difference. And that's where the educational piece comes in.
Right. And we've talked many times offline about how we feel as though there's forces here greater beyond a political construct,
mm-hmm,
that it's very high level stuff, maybe biblical, good versus evil, and Bitcoin could be the good part of the good side of the technology, and the evil side would be like programmable currency, like what we're going to talk about here in just a moment,
right,
also known as CBDC or central bank digital currencies.
Right. And just before we get there, I want to also go back and say, you know, I hate to get political on this,
no,
but you got to wonder, you know, when this, when Jason got put into the position he was put into was during Trump's administration. And then when you start tying everything that Bitcoin getting involved in and the security, you just got to wonder if Trump knew a little bit more than what we were led on to believe. And there's a big reason for it. Like you say, the good versus the evil.
I entirely agree with that. And hopefully we just didn't hear that little clip starting to play.
No, I didn't hear anything.
Okay, we'll see if that clip actually plays. We'll see if
we're trying
computer,
some new technology.
We'll see if
today,
my computer cooperates here.
So anyway, we will keep you informed about Soft War and the book, and we'll be bringing a lot of information from it. So.
Yes, you bet. Well, this past week, we had some great news emerging about CBDCs. Yes, some good news. We'll see what happens. Congressman Tom Emmer had introduced a bill that would prohibit the Federal Reserve from issuing a CBDC directly to anyone.
Boy, wouldn't that be a game changer.
That is huge. The bill is titled the CBDC Anti-Surveillance State Act,
mm-hmm,
and it details that except as specifically authorized under this act, a Federal Reserve Bank may not offer products or services directly to an individual or maintain an account on behalf of an individual or offer a central bank digital currency directly to an individual.
Also, it goes on to the Board of Governors of the Federal Reserve System and the Federal Open Market Committee may not use any central bank digital currency to implement monetary policy.
It seems as though they understand the threat here and trying to do something legislatively, because this really has to be an act of Congress. You just can't kibosh this stuff with an executive order. I mean, we have a crazy guy in the White House that will create the executive orders are written to where these things are full go, and now we have to counter this with legislation. We can't wait on hopefully a future president who will write an executive order to say no CBDCs.
Right. And we all know how well the Federal Reserve has worked, right?
Right.
Not.
Right.
Not to our benefit. Let me back up. It hasn't work to our benefit. To their benefit, yes, but not to ours.
He goes on to say that in his tweet announcing the bill, this is Representative Emmer, that any digital version of the dollar must uphold our American values of privacy, individual sovereignty, and free market competitiveness. Anything less opens the door to the development of a dangerous surveillance tool, yep, which is what we've been talking about for months now, about what CBDCs really are. And they are programmable money that can devalue in time if you don't spend it because they don't want you to save it.
Right.
Or deny a product or service because you may not be buying a product or service that a government entity thinks is good for you or determines you should or should not have.
It goes back to the whole being centralized.
Right.
It's in their hands.
Correct.
Their control and their guidelines, no matter what those are.
We talked about President Lula in Brazil. Where he's saying you don't get your universal basic income, which they're already using UBI in Brazil, if you don't get your vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
So they're holding back your ability to have livelihood to go ahead and take a medication. We can't really call it a vaccine because we know it doesn't prevent illness. But to take this drug that you may not want to take. If you want to take it, great.
That's your choice.
But, and it's interesting because, offline here, we were just having this conversation with, Robert here in the lobby where we were just talking about how many people were forced to have to take this drug and
keep their job.
Right. They had their livelihood put in front of them as the carrot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You want to be able to pay your bills and keep your home and all of that, then you're going to take this jab. It's disgusting. And
yeah,
I'm glad that they're coming out with this regulation, this legislation. We'll see if it does get through the House. It probably will. We'll see if it gets through the Senate.
Yep.
And so then Biden has to sign it.
That's true. So hopefully it will go somewhere and protect the people. So we'll keep you updated on that one.
Well, maybe we can try and run this little snippet because it's probably just enough time here before we go to break.
All right.
So let's go ahead and give this a try.
Give it a try.
All righty. And here we go.
When I understood the philosophy of Bitcoin, something clicked in my mind. The struggle we have been fighting for in Togo for freedom is completely tied to our decision to have an independent currency.
The currency in Togo, the CFA franc, is controlled and printed by the French Treasury. And her family has seen their life savings devalued time and time again. Farida questions why France keeps Togo's reserves in its banks, money that's earned by the Togolese people, and then is used to buy French debt to finance the living standards of French people.
Why can't we just use Bitcoin, which is more like a nationless currency, a currency that is not tied to a country, a race, an identity, the currency that belongs to everyone. And the most powerful part about it is the fact that it's immutable. The rules cannot be changed. Someone cannot wake up every day and announce that they are slashing its value by 50% and get us all poor.
So there you go. Yeah. Bitcoin is freedom.
Understood the philosophy of Bitcoin.
We didn't want to hear that again.
Bitcoin is freedom. And with that, we're going to go ahead and take a break, and we will continue this conversation on CBDCs. You are listening to the Tokens Radio Show at KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM. We'll see you in 3 minutes.
So to every single mother, father, sons and daughters. Do not back down, don't let up. You are all they have for armor. So make this a war to win. Look in their eyes and tell them that I will always fight for you. I will stand guard at the gate, and I will not give up on you. I will stab each shot they take. Yes, I will always fight for you. I will always fight for you.
Here's a little jingle from the Thule Kids.
You can play it, you can pause it, you can skip it, you can stop it with a hop. When the hopper takes over your commercials, I hop with the hop. Where the apps are the cool and the music is as new as with the hop. All the cats and chicks can get their kids with the hop. Let's go!
Thank you for calling BNT Satellite at 241-3474. That's 241-DISH. Hi, this is Doug Thule. Are you missing Newsmax? Call me because I make TV easy and I can get it back for you. My phone number is 241-3474. In case you didn't hear that, that's 530-241-3474. Or visit us at 1007 Dana Drive, Redding, California. Check us out on the internet at btsatellite.com. Shasta County's only DISH Premier retailer. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
The City of Redding cares about clean, affordable transportation. Redding Electric Utilities' new income-qualified electric vehicle voucher program reduces the purchase or lease price on eligible new or used electric vehicles by $3,000. Fuel prices are on the rise, but RU rates remain low. EV drivers pay the equivalent of about $1.10 per gallon versus the paid price at the pump by gas vehicle drivers. Find out if you qualify at cityofredding.org/rebate and enjoy fuel savings in an EV that fits your lifestyle. Funding is limited, so don't wait. Apply now.
He's gonna try to shut us down, but we'll stand our ground. Hey, this Justin, he'll lose. This Justin, another villain on the screen, acting like a hero for all the drama queens. This Justin, another black painted face, lathered in his virtue, enslaving every race. He'll send out the troops and freeze the accounts, says the freedom you get is what he makes allowed. Shame, flame, no matter what they say, don't let the bastard get to you. He's gonna try to shut us down, but we'll stand our ground. Hey, this Justin, he'll lose.
And welcome back. If you want to call in, the phone number here is 530-605-4567. And before we took the break, we were talking about CBDCs. And then, well, the break, or when we were making the transition, we actually got another helpful, tool to use in regards to CBDCs. And that is this, Pat posted the central bank digital currency map of the world, which is awesome.
Yes, it's very cool. And it looks as though what you can do is you can track by country, and it's color-coded in that you can find projects that were canceled, research that are in research, are in a proof of concept, their pilot programs, ones where they have been launched, and you can track the country. You can track their progress. It's a very interesting site. And if you'd like to go check it out, it's cbdctracker.org. That's cbdctracker.org. And thank you for that valuable tidbit, Pat.
Yeah, because if you look at a quick glance, you see like Asia is proof of concept. It's almost all proof of concept going on in Asia. So anyway, we have a lot of different stuff going on there. So thanks again, Pat. We appreciate that.
Yeah, very cool website.
So do we want to move on to maybe how to resist CBDs?
Oh, absolutely. So there's so many articles on this, and we've talked on articles by Catherine Austin Fitz, who is also a patriot in this area. She used to work for the federal government and has dedicated her life now to promoting sound money policies, how to avoid CBDCs, and how to fight back against this tyranny that we're facing.
Yeah, just like we've been talking, you know, it's going to be probably worldwide here, you know, maybe not real short period of time, but it's going to happen. The governments are going to have the CBDCs, and they may force the people of their country to have CBDs for some of the fiat currency or something that they have in bank accounts or something along that lines.
I think that there's going to be probably some form of a combined form, whether you're going to be mandated to use it. That would be your most locked down societies like China, for instance. And we may actually have something like that here for our social systems, such as social security, Medicaid, that type of thing, food stamp programs, you know, that type of thing where you are receiving some sort of monetary assistance, and that would be issued by the government, and they have to control it in some sort of way, just like they do now. They do it with debit cards. They can turn off a debit card if you're no longer eligible for that program.
Lately on the news, they've actually cut back benefits.
Correct.
On those cards.
Right, they have.
Yeah.
And when you go in the grocery store, you see those tags that says, you know, for WIC program, that type of thing. And that means that if you are receiving that type of subsidy, those are the products they want you to buy.
Yeah, I was going to say, it used to be, and I don't know if it's changed, that you could only buy certain ones.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you weren't going to buy the selected ones, the ones that were selected for you, then you were more than welcome to pay for whatever you want on your own.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
That's just kind of how it works.
Good old government.
Yeah. So CBDCs enable all sorts of horrible totalitarian things.
Like?
Well, they allow governments to track and control every penny you earn, save, and spend. And they're a powerful tool for politicians to confiscate and redistribute wealth as they see fit, which we live in a perpetual world of redistribution right now. Whether we like to think that or not, it comes in the form of grants and all sorts of things, which is our money redistributed.
Right. So. Also, one is CBDCs will make it possible for central banks to impose deeply negative interest rates.
Right.
And we've seen the effect of negative interest rates in the past, if I do remember.
Well, in Germany especially, you were paying the banks to store your money.
So, you know, there's like the government programs, you know, with CBDCs. They could have a expiration date, like your frequent flyer miles, you know, all of a sudden. Either you spend them or you lose them. If you don't do it within a time frame, we'll just take them from you and you lose it all and you have nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately.
They can also enable devious social engineering, you know, by allowing governments to punish and reward people in ways that they previously couldn't. You know, so suppose governments impose lockdowns again for flu season, or climate change, or whatever they find convenient. CBDCs could be programmed to work only in a geographic area. If you thought about that, that's interesting. We're going to lock down the West. So we're going to shut down everything in the West while things are just moving along well on the East Coast.
Or how about, if you need drugs, you can only use your CBDs and only get those drugs at this pharmacy.
Right. Yeah. Well,
there we go.
And your payments could be denied if you travel more than a mile from your home during the lockdown.
Yeah, because it would be able to track you and know exactly how far you've traveled.
Yes. Yeah, you were talking about the pharmaceutical products.
Yeah.
And CBDCs, they could easily deposit money into the accounts of those who complied and deduct it from those who didn't.
Right. So if you don't do, as I say, or you ate too many cashews, I'll just take it from you, Christy, and I will give it to Pat in there.
Right.
So he can get his.
That's right.
Because you won't
thank
comply.
You. In this case, I happen to love cashews, so it's a win-win.
Oh, well, I'll have to pick something else. All right. They can also be paired with some sort of social credit system. We've talked about that before. You know, the ESG scores.
Right.
And that can go across the on all kinds of different stuff. You know, people just think ESG like you have a bad credit score. No, this could be what your affiliation is with Christy or Pat or with the gun store, the grocery store, the car dealer. I mean, this goes way beyond all of that, that they keep track of you on everything. And if it's something, I mean, right now the big thing is gun stores. You know, the credit card companies and them said, well, if you bought something with the credit card, through, we're going to start tracking you.
Right.
Or we're going to deny your purchases.
Right.
So that could be a really bad thing again. Then they're in total control. You know, either you go down to the street to the corner, Chris, or it's out, you know.
In case you're wondering, ESG stands for Environmental Social Governance. So as Linda was just talking about guns, for instance, that would fall under the social aspect of this is that, gee, you know, disinformation committees and or people in charge of those types of things just don't think it's good for you to engage in firearm activity legally or being trained in it in any way. So we're just going to punish you.
Right. And China's already doing this. If you stop and think about it, they do a lot of ESGs because the citizens aren't able to do a lot of different things. The government pretty well tells them when, how, and where.
Right.
So.
And what if you made a comment on social media that is deemed to be disinformation or it's just flat out rejected because you've earned so many demerits, Linda? And I know how many times they have come after you.
Yeah.
I'm only kidding.
No.
But Linda, you have commented one too many times here on social media.
About the cashews.
Right. So, you know, or maybe you read too many politically incorrect articles online. Yes, they can track what articles you would be reading. This technology is fascinating.
Yes, and that goes back to, and we've talked about it before, with your computers and having good crypto or Bitcoin hygiene.
Right.
But it goes across the board with everything because if you notice, they know what sites you're looking at.
Right.
If you're using regular Google and they're tracking you.
Yes.
They know you're looking at this. They know you order X amount and what from Amazon.
Right.
This is all by design.
Yes. And that's a good point because you can minimize your tracking, the ability to be tracked by using a VPN so that your IP address has been been given a new address when you get onto your VPN because it looks as though you're broadcasting from a different location. But when you voluntarily go on to like an Amazon website and you put in an order, they know what you bought because you voluntarily went there.
Right. You know, and a lot of times people say, how does it know? And, you know, I was just talking to you and we were talking about shampoos and then I go on, you know, because they're tracking you.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And especially if you went to Amazon and bought that shampoo, then we talk about it and then you keep the articles.
Yeah. Or it's creepy when it pops up on your phone and it's like, hey, have you seen this, wonderful shampoo?
Yeah.
It's like,
come
on
down.
Isn't that weird? We were just talking about. And this one would be, this would be so hard on me, especially if I exceeded my monthly meat consumption allowance.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Guess what? You don't get to eat meat for the next year.
That would be punishment right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
But unfortunately, I mean, we make light of it, but it is so true that it could happen if you're not careful. So then it brings me to the parallel economy, because if you've got the parallel economy and you've got Bitcoin, guess what?
Well, the parallel economy and Bitcoin go hand in hand.
Yeah. Yes. And they're not going to know.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk a lot more about parallel economy, and we're going to actually bring, this is a good segue there, Linda. We're going to bring in, a guest, a local, farmer,
mm-hmm.
who will be talking about, how ESG and how, the government is squeezing his business into extinction.
Right.
And how we as a local community can help keep our local farmers and ranchers alive, because these large corporate conglomerations wish to come in and just squeeze them out of business.
And we have to keep them.
Yes, we do.
It's not just for their survival, folks. It's for ours, too. Because otherwise, then you're back having to rely on the government and their big box store or whatever. So.
And you have to look at what's going into our food supply. Large conglomerations are really not too interested in our personal health. So they might be feeding their chickens, their cattle, whatever, well, first of all, cattle shouldn't be eating grains as their primary meal. They're grass. They're ruminant animals. And so they eat grass. And many of the ranchers will finish them off with a little grain so that they marble up and have a good
right.
taste. But you look at your chickens and so forth, they shouldn't be having GMO modified chicken scratch. And you know, they should be able to go out and peck and forage, you know, for grubs and things like that too. And large conglomerations is not going to allow that to happen. They're going to be feedlots.
Yes. That's for sure. So
yeah. Don't want
again,
that in our body. Oh, and the other thing, Linda, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
Is that they're going to start giving them the mRNA vaccines.
Oh,
so
yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Yes.
We won't take them as humans, but they're going to give them to our animals. So we're going to get them one way or another. So
you
this is another reason why you want to buy locally.
Yeah, so you know exactly what's in your food. I'm glad you brought that up because I almost totally forgot about that. And there's evidence showing that they've already started doing that.
Oh, they have.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. Did we talk about the chicken feed thing here on the radio?
I don't think we actually talked about that, but there is problems with the chicken feed
right.
through Tractor Supply.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm not so sure if it's just that particular distributor. It's not their brand. You know,
right.
We don't
want to
have.
Yeah,
we don't want to have them coming back.
Yeah,
and
I was going to say I should clarify.
And social
it's not,
credit.
Yes,
us.
It's not Tractor Supply chicken feed.
Right. It is a product that they happen to distribute, and I'm sure it's distributed with other feed companies
stores, yeah.
as well. But there was some problems with this particular feed, and it was the chickens were no longer. Making eggs.
Right. And the chickens were starting to get a little deformed
right.
and different things going on. Yeah.
And once the chicken farmers realized, oh, there's something wrong with the feed. Maybe we should change the feed. And then all of a sudden the chickens started laying eggs again.
Right. Unfortunately, there's so much stuff that we have to look at and
right.
analyze in our everyday life to make sure
right.
on that stuff. It's terrible and it's not right. But that's what it takes. And again,
yeah.
we go back to the local thing.
Right.
We can control our local
right.
environment.
We sure can.
Yeah.
And it sounds conspiracy theory, but this really isn't. This isn't some pie-in-the-sky idea that we dreamt about and thought, well, hey, well, let's talk about it on the radio.
Let's
it's
make it
true.
Up.
This
yeah.
is very well documented and has been reported, in fact, all around the world.
Yes.
So... Well, you know, and CBDCs are without a doubt an instrument of enslavement. It's a quantum leap, if you will, backward in human freedom, and it's probably the ultimate mm-hmm. backward leap in human freedom.
Well, we've kind of talked about the bad news,
yeah.
but there is some good news about them, right?
Yeah.
They are designed to fail.
Well, I think they are destined to fail,
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah. So there is a bright side.
Just with awareness, just like what we're doing
exactly.
today. And more and more people who get knowledgeable about CBDCs and start talking to their friends who've maybe not heard about them, and maybe they'll start researching them. And interestingly, is that you're actually hearing about these CBDCs on almost virtually every media outlet out there. Even the not-so-favorable media outlets
yes.
are talking about them as well.
And it's doubtful that CBDs can save otherwise fundamentally unsound currencies, as I believe all fiat currencies are.
Well, yeah, if it's an unsound currency because you can just turn on a printing press and you have nothing to back it, there's no difference than adding some, moving a decimal point and adding some zeros onto your ledger,
right?
Digital ledger, and issue these, you know, faux tokens,
yep.
so to speak. It goes right onto your phone.
Right.
How would you know what it's backed from? But if you have gold and silver, you know what that is, right?
Right.
You can hold it and feel it. You can't quite hold Bitcoin per se, but you'll know if you have it or not. If it got stolen from you, then you know for sure that you were holding it.
Well, yep, that's
so
a good way to
put
it.
You have to change your perspective. Do I really get to hold that? Well, Bitcoin, you do.
Right. And, you know, I don't think they're going to save the American dollar. We'd like, you know, people want to make it sound like it's going to, you know, come and rescue the dollar and everything's going to be okay. And that's mostly coming from the government side. And that is not true. You know, we all know what's happening with our money here. It's getting down to there's no value in it at all. We know that.
Yeah, I do think I'd like to be wrong on this, but there's more and more everyday information coming out that we are headed for a great reset. And I do believe that what's happening right now with this inflation, the lack of concern for printing all of this money, why we are transferring wealth and sending it to another country, protecting their borders and shoring up their pension plans, but not really caring about ours, is that because there is no value to that money?
Oh, no.
It's just a thought and a belief. And once that belief is eroded and there's no more trust in that particular currency, it's going to be gone. I mean, look at, did fiat or even the CBDC save the Zimbabwe dollar or the Venezuelan bolivar?
It did, no.
Or the peso?
No, it didn't save them. But what it did do for the people in those countries, if they had Bitcoin, it enabled them to have freedom.
That's right. Just like that clip.
Right.
Exactly.
Yes.
That woman was in Africa, and she was talking about how having Bitcoin was freedom. It was survival.
Uh-huh.
It was a very good, timely snippet on that.
Excuse me. So again, because it created the freedom, a lot of people were able to still make it in life and get things and survive and prosper, actually.
So what do you do when the government forces everyone to use CBDCs? Well, you could use physical gold and silver.
You could.
We're big proponents of having physical gold and silver, and it's also part of our Constitution, where you have a little gold and a little silver.
Well, that was supposed to be the only form of money.
Correct.
Yeah.
But to have a – interesting, when gold was confiscated, the
in
gold –
In the 20s?
Well,
yeah.
It was again in the 70s.
Yeah, that's true, when they took off the
right.
gold standard.
Right, and in the 30s, I believe. But when the gold was confiscated, the gold that was not coined. So, in other words, if you had
bullion
currency, okay, gold currency, silver currency, well, gold was the one that was being confiscated. Silver was fine. You would be able to keep that. So the most wealthy people that had coins, gold coins, got to keep them as long as it was the sovereign currency, the sovereign
right.
coin. So interesting.
Yeah.
So
again,
have gold and silver.
obtain financial sovereignty with Bitcoin.
Yes. And it's not too late to start.
No, it really isn't. Yeah. We're kind of early in the game, but we're not because, you know, again, we go back to the fear thing because there's so much going on in our country that we all have a little bit of fear because nobody can actually put a time frame. Yes, on this date, this time, this is going to happen.
Right. And do you have to buy a whole Bitcoin?
No.
No.
That's what's nice.
You do not. You can buy as much Bitcoin as you can afford. So if you want to buy $5 worth of Bitcoin, you can. In fact, Fold just came out with a program that you could buy as little as a dollar's worth of Bitcoin with your Fold card.
Oh, I didn't see that. That's
nice.
It's
in your Fold app.
Yeah. So again, that's what's nice about Bitcoin.
And Swan especially makes it so easy.
You can buy whatever amount you're able to do, and having a little bit's better than nothing.
Absolutely.
In the long run. Yeah.
And this next step is what you were just alluding to earlier, is a local parallel economy is getting organized locally, which is something we've been working on kind of quietly behind the scenes, but putting quite a bit of time into it, as well as the folks over at the Reading Bitcoin Center. Hey, Jed and Patrick and Lauren and Alan, they've been working very hard on this as well. And it's important to do business locally.
And another thing is do, like the barter system, value to value. You know, I may have something that you want or vice versa, and that's where it comes back to locally. You know, maybe I got eggs and you got beef.
Right.
And you ate all your beef for the week, so I'll, you know, but that's what
I'll have to eat some chicken.
Yeah. But that's what it's all about, is value to value.
Right.
So that can make a big difference in everybody's world, the bartering system.
And you want to become a prepper.
Yes.
Yes. You want to minimize the inconvenience of bartering. It's good to be self-sufficient in many areas, stockpiling supplies, gaining survival knowledge, maybe growing a garden yourself. Those are very good ways to be prepared.
So we just kind of give you like five different ways to opt out of the CBDC so that you don't get caught in that mess and help protect you and your family.
Yes. So just to summarize, you're going to get some physical gold and silver, get some Bitcoin, get organized locally.
Yeah. Value to value, do some bartering.
Yeah.
With your people and become a prepper.
Yes, indeed. And with that, I believe that we're coming up to the end of the program here very shortly. So it was good to have our conversation and get the whole topic covered today. That was great.
And we'll be having a lot more of these.
And so we're going to conclude here with our Robert Breedlove quote, which is what we like to finish with. And we'd like to thank Pat for producing today. It was good to have you here.
Yeah, and until next week.
Here we go.
A great man once said, "The government which governs best, governs least." So in this very critical type of property we call money, the most important form of property in the world, this is another way to look at Bitcoin and the importance of Bitcoin. Bitcoin, very simply, is the government that governs least. It just gives you strong property in your money, and that's it.
Climb aboard, y'all. This train is bound for glory. And there's plenty of room for all. Well, Satoshi Nakamoto, that's a name I love to say. And we don't know much about him, but he came to save the day. When he wrote about the way things are and the way things ought to be, he gave us all a protocol this world had never seen. Oh, Bitcoin, as you're going into the old blockchain. Oh, Bitcoin, I know you're going to rain till everybody knows, till everybody knows your name. Down the road it will be told about the death of old Mt. Gox, about traders trading altar coins and miners mining blocks. But them good old boys back in Illinois and on down through Tennessee, see they don't care.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.